I do want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to the multitudes of people that came out and helped us with Bob Hoover's funeral and the dinner, and everybody that was able to participate with was really, really appreciated, okay? And praise God. We're just thankful for Bob and his life, amen? Praise God. Well, we're going to get started this morning, and remember, I'm teaching about our identity in the Lord, amen? And one reason I want to teach about our identity in the Lord is because, first of all, we've got to remember, grace is God's ability to do for us what we cannot do. Grace is God's ability to do for us what we cannot do. And when we say that, I'm saying that to you as an individual person, because I want you to remember that we talked last week about how we were discovering that, hey, we became a new creature in Christ. But oftentimes, even though we know we're a new creature in Christ, we don't cut off our old identity and take on the new identity. We don't take on the fact that the Lord now calls us the redeemed. And heaven forbid that I called you saints. My goodness, boy, you guys would look at me like, whoa, 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 what isn't he saying? I'm not a saint. Well, according to the word of God, when you have been saved by the grace of Jesus and by the blood, you are transformed into new identities, and we must accept those identities and take them on. Amen? And one of the best ways I felt like this morning that I could talk to you about an identity change is just share with you how a father, and we know this father because we always look at this scripture because this is one of our favorites, because it's called the prodigal son. And we like to really elevate how the son went this way and that way. So I'll read all that stuff, but we're going to concentrate on something this morning that might be a little different to you. In Luke chapter 15, we're going to begin to read about the prodigal son, or we could call it the super compassionate father. Amen? We never think about that side of it. We think about the prodigal son, but did you ever think about the father? This father gave this young man everything and said, hey, this is all the inheritance I was going to give you. Here, you can have it now since you're asking me. So he gave him the inheritance ahead of time, and the prodigal son went running everywhere, spending it, doing all this crazy stuff. Could you think about how that father really could have received that young man when he came back? Right? And even before he came back, the prodigal son said, oh my goodness. He said, look, he says, if I was at my, because he had done so much and he had spent so much that he was out, and all of a sudden a famine came in the land. And all of a sudden he's out there and he's living through this famine and he's struggling through this time. And all of a sudden, something speaks to him. So we're going to look at these things as we read through here. And it says that, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. This is the son who's wasted everything that his dad has given him. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have went ahead and filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and spare to eat, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee in heaven before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet afar off, come on, grace does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. When this son was afar off, it says his father saw him, and he had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it onto him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring forth the fatted calf. Woo! And kill it and let us eat and be merry. You notice how I always like these stories that are attached to food eating. But seriously, what I want you to see here is that in all honesty, we're seeing the reflection of a godly father. We're seeing the reflection of a forgiving father. We're seeing the reflection of a father that was so kind and compassionate that he never even looked at his son and said, "Son, I've been hearing of what you've done so stupidly with what I've given you. Son, why didn't you do better than what I've taught you? Son, how could you have wasted those things on things I don't even believe in and didn't raise you in this household to believe in?" He could have been and went through every one of those steps, but I want you to understand something, that this man is a reflection of your heavenly Father. Ah, see? Come on, I want you to understand something, that sometimes when we get saved and here we are supposed to be walking in our identity and walking in the power of who we are as Christians, but when we get saved, it's not very often that we clean our slate and believe that what God did was enough. It's not very often that any one of us would have even been willing to come back to his father, let enough come in there, and then when his father bestowed all that blessing, received it. You know why? Because we won't receive what the Lord does. The Lord has set us free from sin. Now that don't mean you better have any going on now. Hallelujah. No, he's empowered you. Grace is the power to do what you cannot do before. So what we need to understand is that the Lord has empowered us to be a people that are less prone to do sin than we'd be prone to sin. Now, if we would even get our mindset to where we would believe that about ourselves, then we would start to see the power of God reacting in a way that would put us in a position to be changed. Listen, you might have been a cusser, a fusser, a fighter, a drinker. Any of those things are possible of what we were before. But if you would accept the fact that through salvation you are no longer that identity, through salvation you are no longer that, through that you are no longer what you used to be, then you can start walking in the identity that Christ truly wants you to have. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that I will be their God and they will be my people. Amen? We looked at last week and that Bible actually said we are his offspring. So what is so powerful about being the offspring of God is that if you're willing to receive it and if you're willing to believe it and if you're willing to walk in it, you can start taking on the nature of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you're just going to have to believe me till next week because we're going to read that in the scripture. Because next week we're going to read about how it says that we now have a divine nature. Oh, I dare you to say it by faith. Say, I have a divine nature. Woo, amen. And I want you to know something, that God expects us to start walking in this kindness. Listen to me, the Lord God himself, if he can write this story about a man that does good to someone, then let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what you've done up till now. It doesn't mean I don't care. Doesn't mean that I don't have sorrow if what you've done up till now put you through grief, hardship, abuse, addiction, all kinds of things. I care about that. And I care about the stuff that it might hurt you in that regard. But what I don't care about is I don't care about what your past has been enthralled in, because your past no longer has power to control your future once you let the Lord take it. Amen? Praise God. So we're going to look here at this scripture just for a few more minutes because I really want us to really start getting a hold of some things that belong to the Lord when it comes to him working in our life. And we're going to just look here because I want to read something to you. Oh, out of the book of Judges. And I want to read this to you because this typically is how we are as believers. And what I want to do is I want to read to you about a young man that was called back in this time to do something for God. In fact, he was called to help the Lord set his people free. And this is a young man named Gideon. And even the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him and talked to him. And this is what the angel said in Judges chapter 6, 11. And there came an angel out of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joaz the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is so much befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now, why do you think I read that to us? Because these are the types of responses that we usually give to the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I didn't think I'd get much shouting on that one. Hallelujah, Pastor. Amen, amen. No, but the truth is, in all honesty, you know, this is a young man that's called by God, purposed by God, and purposed so much that an angel comes and talks to him directly and tells him who he is, what his purpose is, and the first thing he does is deny. The first thing he does is put an identity on himself that did not belong to him. You know, sometimes we are so worried about our current circumstances that we never join with God enough to change them. Basically, this angel was telling him, Gideon, right now I need you to quit responding to what you see. Right now you see that you are threshing out wheat in the wine presses, and right now you see poorness and poverty on your family. He said, but this is what I want you to see, Gideon. If God calls you to something, he will empower you. And I want each one of us in here to understand something, that we should never let our beginning be our finishing. Amen. We should never let where we are stop us from starting, because if we let it stop us from starting, then we won't see what God wants for us, even though it was his plan and purpose for him. Now, thank God Gideon rose up from this place, and Gideon went forward, and thank God that Gideon kept by faith moving, and guess what? He so got empowered by God that even the enemy was calling out, saying, oh no, not only is this is God and the hand of Gideon coming to destroy us. I tell you what, the devil is just one faith step away from leaving your life. You're just one faith step away from seeing a different outcome than you've been living under. And I'm telling you, if you got some things that have been laying around for a period of time and you have just let them go, I'm telling you, it's time to pick them back up. It's time for you to pick your faith back up and let your faith be activated. You know, last week we talked about a woman with an issue of blood. And what we talked about was how bold it was for her to come before the Lord. And we talked about how bold, how she became that daughter that just stood up and said, Lord, I'm the one. And what was so powerful about that story is that that woman had been dealing with her issues for 12 years. How many of us struggle when we've dealt with something for a year? Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sometimes a few months. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now listen, I'm not trying to convict you in that way. I'm not trying to condemn you, but I am trying to challenge you to say, at what point and what reason and why would you give up? Amen? If the change has not happened yet, it's not because God doesn't want to bring it. I'm telling you that most times it's because when God comes and God speaks to us, we believe it can take place for somewhere else, but we don't believe it for ourselves. We're like Gideon. He came up to him and said, hey, rise up, mighty man of valor. You're the one. And we're like, oh, no, no, it can't be me. That might happen for someone else, but it cannot happen for me. And I just want you to make sure that you don't ever sit there and let things overtake you and things go beyond what is meant because we're afraid. I got to ask you something. Have you determined who you are in the kingdom? Have you determined who you are going to be in the kingdom? Have you determined that when the enemy comes to your house for a fight, that you're going to fight and you're going to win? Why would you determine otherwise? You're already more than a conqueror. You're already more than a conqueror. You've already defeated. You've already won. See, this is what a believer needs to understand. When I got saved and when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart, then all of a sudden I transformed my future by that stance and by saying so and by becoming, because now I'm not doing this by myself. Remember the biggest thing that the Lord told Gideon is, hey, Gideon, I'm going to be with you. And listen to me, sometimes even after the Lord comes into our life, all we hear is our own voice. But we have no idea that we've forgotten that our voice is touched by the Holy Ghost now. Our voice is touched by Jesus. And we need to understand that when we speak and when we pray, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of heaven are aware of who's praying. See, here's what else I was looking at when I was looking over these things about our identity in Christ. Guess what? I have found that in every generation, every time there are people who hear God and because of him, they make a change. I want you to know that there are people in every generation that because they hear God and because they become believers, they make a change, and that change transformed lives. And what I want you to know is that that means that you and I are determined by God to be where we are, who we are, and alive at the time in life that we're alive. So right now, I want you to know that as I sit here and I look out at you, there are no mistakes looking out at me. I'm not a mistake talking to you. I'm supposed to be here at this time, and so are you. You know, I just want to speak this for just a minute, because sometimes if we're not careful, we'll let sickness predetermine us. If we're not careful when we're going through some things, if we're not careful when it comes to finances or when it comes to maybe a broken marriage or something like that, if we're not careful, we will allow those things to redefine us to a point that we almost cannot recover and that we can lose our identity. And we can never afford to lose our identity like that. I'm going to read to you something out of the book of John. And when I read this to us today, I want you to know that I want you to know that I'm speaking to us just for a few moments about the fact that every time I have read something in the Bible where somebody gets supernaturally healed or somebody has a life change, guess what I find out? They had to participate. Say this with me. I have to participate. And I want you to understand something, that it could be the woman at the issue of blood. We read her story, and buddy, she had to push through crowds and push through crowds. But she had to have something in her spirit concerning the Lord that caused her to take a step. You know, we've read the story of blind Bartimaeus before, and he was a blind man that was sitting out alongside of a road, and he heard Jesus was coming by, and he said, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they said, "Shut up." They said, "Shut your mouth. We know who you are. You're blind. You're always going to be blind. You don't need to be calling out to the Savior." But thank God that blind Bartimaeus cried out even louder, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And because he cried out even louder, guess what? The Lord called on his name. And I want you to know something. Don't ever let the devil or anybody else shut you up. If you tell somebody you're believing for God about something and they say, "You don't even deserve that. That's never going to happen for you." Listen, you shut their voice and you find somebody else to agree with you. But don't you stop standing on your own faith, because I'll tell you what, whenever someone is telling you to stop pursuing, whether they love you or not, sometimes it's just the enemy working through them. Hallelujah. Remember, even Jesus' mother and his own brothers one time tried to call him back from who he was. And he had to be careful to not listen at that time. Amen? Uh-oh. Now, I want us to make sure that we don't ever allow anybody to call us back from who we are or from being able to receive what belongs to us. But in this scripture, I really want to look at it, because the Lord takes every excuse away from us here. And we are in John chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 1. And it says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season unto the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been there now a long time in the case, he saith to him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Say this with me. Will thou be made whole? Wow. You know, it's amazing, because this man, the first thing he did was, after Jesus asked him, the first thing he did was he made up the reasons. I'm not going to call them excuses, but he made up the reasons of why he hadn't been healed yet. He said, "Oh my goodness, when it happens and the angels come, oh, I just don't have anybody to help me get down there." And Jesus is looking at this man, and now all of a sudden, what excuse can the man have, because the pool's irrelevant now? The pool is irrelevant because Jesus is there. And Jesus looks at the man and says, "Hey, will thou be made whole?" And I'm just telling you that sometimes, people, we've got to start doing a scrub down of why we are not really receiving from the Lord what we're receiving, because he's right there. There's no pool that's separating us. There's no people that's separating us. Jesus is available to us. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to look and see if we will do what he wants us to do. Because he made that man pick up his bed And as soon as he picked up that place where he was laying in his sorrows, uh-oh. See, sometimes, I hate to tell it, but sometimes we make a bed of our sorrows or our excuses or our reasons why. We make a bed of all the things that have happened, why I can't get healed, why I can't get fixed. It's because I'm just going to lay on this bed here of things that are no longer even active in my life. It's been 20 years since someone did that to me, but I'm just going to keep that in my bed because I can. And the Lord is sometimes speaking to us and saying, hey, pick that bed up. As soon as he picked that bed up, all that stuff that was covering fell off. And then he said, now go, and you are able to walk. And he could never, he said, now go and take that bed and walk out of here and don't come back to this place. And see, sometimes I just want to talk to us about this for just a minute. Will we allow the Lord to make us whole? Will we engage our faith? Will we shake off fears? Will we shake off our yesterday? Will we stand up again? See, some of us are alone because the last time we got hurt, we just shut the door on it. It's easier for me to be by myself than put up with someone else. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to know something. There's somebody right here today that if you would just put down your arms and let the Lord, he'd bring you someone who would make you think about life in a whole different way. Amen? But I just want to ask us, who will we and what will we do so we can make sure that we're whole and we can make sure that we're not leaving anything under some old identity that doesn't belong to us. Amen? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, for first of all, before we leave here, if you are a person that's been struggling with like the way they're doing these jobs and your job is on the line, or you are in a place where they are going to either take your job or you could lose your job, I just want you to come up here with me. If that's you, come up here because we're just going to pray. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Yep. Let's just get here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. How you doing, brother? Good, good, good. Hallelujah. I believe that the Lord is just going to help us and help each one of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, these dear, hardworking people, their jobs are on the line, Father. Lord, they could lose their job because of something that's being forced and not something that you have put, God. And Father, I just pray right now that favor comes upon them, God. That grace, God, that you open doors, Father. Lord, that you show them, God, direction and give them clarity, Father. And Lord, their household will not lose provision. Their household will not lose what's needed, God. And Father, you're going to make a way for them, even if it looks like there is no way, Father. And Lord, I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, God bless you, brother. Good to see you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now let's just close our eyes for a minute. If there's anybody in here who's not saved or who's backslidden and doesn't know the Lord, and today you want to make your peace with Jesus and tell him that you need him to be Lord and Savior, if that's you, just quickly raise your hand.